The Battle for the Falklands by Max Hastings and Simon Jenkins. Read by Cameron Stewart. All this country is bare, with not a bit of wood. Very windy and very cold, because 8 months in the year it snows, and the prevailing winds are southwest. Log of unknown ship out of Seville, 1540. The 14th, we were driven in among certain isles never before discovered, lying 50 leagues or better from the shore, in which place, unless it had pleased God of his wonderful mercy to have ceased the wind, we must of necessity have perished. Passenger with Captain John Davis, 1592. On the 24th day, about dawn, 3 little islands were sighted, hitherto neither noted nor drawn on any map. These were given the new name Zeboldis. In the same place, they found an extraordinary number of penguins. Ship's surgeon, under Zebold de Vert, 1600. The Falkland Islands' misfortune has always been to be wanted more than they are loved. They loomed up out of mountainous seas and freezing fog, disorienting and terrifying early sailors blown east from Cape Horn. Navigators, unsure if they were still off the South American mainland, would merely record in their logs a barren but lethal coastline of rocks and inlets, and pray they lived to tell the tale. No one knows who saw the islands first. Vespucci, Magellan, Davis, Hawkins, Zebard de Vert may all make their claims. As a result, the islands acquired a bewildering variety of names: the Sansons, the Zeboldes, Hawkins Land, the Malouine, the Malvinas. For those concerned with theories of discovery, Spaniards, Britons, and Dutchmen are almost equally entitled to credit. We do at least know who first set foot on the Falklands. In 1690, Captain John Strong was voyaging to Chile when he was driven east from the Cape in a violent storm. He found himself off the northern tip of the islands, which he identified from a previous sighting by Captain Richard Hawkins. "Here are many good harbours," Strong wrote. "We found fresh water in plenty and killed an abundance of geese and ducks. As for wood, there is none." Strong did no more than chart the sound between the two main islands and name it after the First Lord of the Admiralty, Lord Falkland. He then sailed on. Strong was soon followed by others in the period of intense trade rivalry between 18th-century Spain, Britain, and France. Under the Treaty of Utrecht of 1713, Spain's control of its traditional territories in the Americas, which embraced the Falklands, was formally confirmed. But this appears to have done little to restrain English and French ambitions. Covetous eyes were cast at islands which, in Lord Anson's hyperbolic words, "even in time of peace might be of great consequence to this nation, and in time of war would make us master of the seas." The basis of Anson's enthusiasm was that the islands would be a refuge and refreshment base for British ships rounding Cape Horn. Whether he envisaged a fully-fledged naval base is not clear. Little immediate action was taken on Anson's advice, but the concept of the Falklands as a maritime key to various El Dorados was already planted in the political consciousness.